to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Anna Page. And we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West.
As a world-renowned flautist and teacher, Kaori Fuji has taught many the art of performance. For the past 5 years, she's been traveling to the Democratic Republic of Congo to empower musicians there to teach others, work that is a part of the foundation she created, Music Beyond. She continues to work with musicians in the Congo despite the hardships that coronavirus has caused across the globe. She's developing some innovative approaches to distant teaching to ensure the work continues.
Super excited to be back on the air after a hiatus. We are now working in the field, and I am honored to have Kaori Fuji and Jessica Jane Hart here at my home. We are talking about Kaori's work in the Congo. If you might remember a program that we hosted several months ago, we talked with Jessica about her documentary film. She went down to the Democratic Republic of the Congo to film a documentary of Kaori's work with the Kinshasa Symphony Orchestra, the only orchestra in sub-Saharan Africa. Welcome, both of you. So glad to have you here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Nice to be here.
We are working off of two mics, honoring social distancing, so we're going to focus in on a conversation with Kaori, and Jessica, please jump in anytime that you want to add anything. Curious how things are going since the documentary, it made its debut here in Billings.
Right, so for the first year, we were only doing the private screening, and then it's been probably a year since it's been open to everyone.
Maybe.
So it's been a year, and a lot of people had watched it, and it was great because often the problem is whenever I talk about Congo and then work that we do with Music Beyond, there is a huge disconnect between because they don't know Congo, they don't, you know, they can't. It's not an easy place for people to get to,
right?
As a tourist, so. It was, this film really helped to humanize the story of Music Beyond, humanize the story of these people. They tend to be, these Congolese people tend to be just numbers, you know? But since the movie, they can get to see Julie, they can get to see Paulette, they can get to see each individual people, and that had a huge impact on the work that we do, and all the donors and supporters that who, you know, now they feel more connected to the community, connected to the people.
Yeah, and to get to hear from them directly, how they started with nothing, built this orchestra just out of pure grit and a love of music.
Yeah, it's incredible. And then I cannot take a credit for that at all. They have been doing that for 24 years. They started with a couple of violins and, you know, 5, 6, 7 musicians, and over the years they grew to now 200 plus members, including choirs, and they're playing Beethoven in the middle of Africa. It's pretty spectacular.
And you've been going down there now about 5 years, is that right?
Yeah, exactly. I've been there 5 years, 3 times a year. I've been there 15 times, 16 times, something.
And when you're down there, you're giving lessons, working with the ensemble groups, and it's wonderful and also really heart-wrenching to see their work in this home for young mothers, some of them very young children themselves, and to see what music can do to bring that sound and that hope.
Absolutely. And this particular home was also a school, and it's catered to young mothers between age 12 and 17. 12-year-old mother, it's, you know, absolutely crazy. But that's the reality of the country. For me, the work that we do with Music Beyond is powerful because the woman and man that we work with, the fellow Congolese, they can inspire people who are living in, for example, who are living in those homes. It's much more powerful that they can talk to these young mothers in their own language, rather than me, for example, a foreigner who is flying in from New York or Japan to go there and to say, like, you can do it.
Right.
You know, so I feel like Music Beyond's sole purpose really is to bring out the mentors, to help create mentors so that they can change the narrative of the country and they can inspire fellow Congolese and the youth. And, you know, there's 65% of population is, I think it is, I hope it's correct, 65% of population is a people aged 24 younger.
Oh, wow. It's a very young country then.
Yeah. 3% of the population is people over 65. So it is an incredibly young country, you know, which means that it can change. It can change quite easily or quite quickly. You just need to have role models.
As you're going down there, I imagine there's plenty of barriers for you, like you mentioned, an outsider coming in.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the things that you overcame to work with the musicians and to really help inspire them to then go out and teach in their own communities?
The musicians that I have been working with, they had always been really polite and they had always been very nice. But it took 2 years and 6 trips for them to believe that I actually do come back.
Mm.
So every time at the end of the workshop, I tell them, say, all right, you know, it was a good workshop. The next one is going to be in April. Or the next one is going to be in so and so. They always say, I hope this is not the last time. Every time I come back, they were so surprised. They were like, oh my God, you actually came back. I got used to it. And then at the 6th trip, and then the last day, I told them the same thing. I, you know, fully expecting them to say, I hope this is not the last time. I told them, okay, so next trip is going to be in November or something. And they're like, see you in November. And I cried so much. And that was really the beginning of forming a trust with each other. Congo is a country where there are extreme amount of NGOs existing in Congo. Every NGO from Save the Children to whatever, you name it, everybody's there. At the same time, they're also used to having the promises broken. You know?
They come parachuted in.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But then the first sign of instability, they're gone.
Extraction.
Mm-hmm. You know, because they have to. The same with the government. Government promises a lot of things, but it never worked out for them. So they have a good reason to be skeptical. It's their defense mechanism. They need to. They can't just trust everyone. But with music, if you can't trust people, you can't teach. Or you can't learn, because it's not about pressing the right buttons and blowing air into a tube.
Right.
You know, it's much more to it. It's more about the emotional connections and opening up your heart, expressing something. And those things can only come after we all feel comfortable in an environment. And it took 2 years. And so that was hard. But I don't change it for that. But anything else, you know?
It's interesting you talk about the heart that is required in music versus the technical knowledge,
mm-hmm.
which obviously you need to be technically proficient
right.
in your instrument. But
right.
What I'm hearing is that the true expression comes from a connection and a trust within oneself to provide that music.
Absolutely. Music is exactly the same with storytelling. Do you know? And yes, it's good to have a lot of vocabularies and good to have really good grammar. All these things is, yes, okay, it's important to tell a story. But at the end of the day, when a child would tell a story to her mom, might not be the most fluent way of speaking, but you get so much. You really get the excitement of this child or sadness or joy or... You
this
know?
Would explain, too, your process. You've been playing flute for a very long time,
uh-huh.
and you're known throughout the world for your talents, I believe, because you lead with your heart.
That's the purpose of music. You know, I thought about this the other day. Music was always existed, always, in every country, in every era, in every religion, you know, in every culture. Like, can you name one culture that never had music, any kind of music, or any religion that never had any kind of music. It's not just because of background music or the knowledge of music, but it's about the emotion of it, what the music brings out in people. That's why music had been an essential part of being, us being a human being.
And language, too, it becomes your common ability to speak. So Absolutely. If you had a language barrier in the Congo,
music
became your common language.
Of course, yes. Yeah, that's the beauty of music, too, definitely.
Yeah. And you are teaching. You've been doing private lessons for a long time. I'm sure that the global pandemic has shifted a lot in your life. You are doing digital teaching already.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone solely to teaching digitally at this time?
Right now, yes. You know, for various reasons. One, I'm based in New York, but right now I'm in Montana. So.
And we're glad that you're here.
Right. I'm very happy to be here.
Glad that you're safe.
But also, like, even if I was in New York right now, nobody would, we wouldn't feel comfortable teaching or learning.
Yeah, the restrictions in that community, as for good reason, are
exactly.
so tight right now.
Exactly.
We don't quite know what that feels like in Montana at all. We've been very sheltered and lucky here.
Right, that's true. Yeah, so it's been a bit of a transition, but it works. The only frustration that I sometimes feel is, for example, if I'm teaching somebody and then all I need to do is to move her flute a little bit to the left side, a little bit to the right side, and that would solve all the problem. I can't do that. So I'm trying to tell them over the camera, and it's like, no, just move it a little bit to the left. No, that's too much. Like, back. No, just 2 millimeters that way. So that's...
Yeah. That body language stuff is
right,
tough over digital.
Exactly.
And it's exhausting, too, to have digital lessons where you don't get that interaction in
person. Yeah, that's true. And then in the beginning, it was hard because some people would have better connections than others. Some people would have an external microphone. Some people would just use phone microphones. And the phone microphones would, make the flute sound really break because flute is really high in frequency.
Yeah.
We are always used to listening to very subtle differences, as a teacher. So, yeah, once you get used to it, you can do it.
And that difference in connection makes me think about trying to work remotely with the Congolese, because you have been going there now consistently. We're not quite sure when global travel is going to be a safe and appropriate idea. How has that affected your work in the Congo?
Yeah, so I was going to go back to Congo in April for the entire month of April and the beginning of May, but that had to be postponed for obvious reasons. And now we are about to start an online workshop for the first time. But to put things in context, Kinshasa, Congo is a country, is one of the poorest countries on earth, and Kinshasa is a capital. But still, majority of neighborhood don't have reliable electricity or water or anything. So if you don't have reliable electricity, Wi-Fi is not going to work. They also don't have reliable phone, like a landline. So that's out too. So all we can use right now is a cell phone data.
Wow.
And 3G is a thing. Remember 3G? So what we did is we bought a phone credit because everybody's phone is prepaid. It's not like monthly thing, but you put $20, $10, $5 on your phone and then use it until it's gone. And then you buy it again when they have money. So we provided that credit to put enough into a phone of somebody, and we are trying to do it that way. We tried to have a meeting that way last week, and it actually worked out quite well, but it very much depending on the day. It's also, they just cut 3G internet for no particular reasons for a few days, because if there's any kind of demonstration, they completely do that. The government would absolutely do that to make sure that nobody's going to, report anything to the outside. But even there's nothing, they just sometimes gone for a few days and nobody really knows why. So we will see what's gonna happen. But if we can do this, it can open new doors for us. So if this works, then, for example, I can invite an amazing violin teachers that are in France to connect with them to have a masterclass, you know, and then also I can then start talking to the, for example, solar panel companies to try to put in a solar panel into the school that they are building right now, you know, so we can scale it if this works at all. But yeah, it's about connections. It's also about how they feel about being taught on the screen, because they've never done that either. And, you know, so we'll see.
Wow. I appreciate how much inventiveness is coming out of this. And as you say, if it works, it does open up some more opportunity, not
Absolutely.
Only to continue your connectivity, but to bring other musicians into
right.
the fold.
This is not going to be, this is never, and then I say this also to teaching here in the States as well. This online teaching for music is not going to replace the in-person meeting, I don't think. Because you really need to be in person to feel a lot of things, to get a lot of things. But this can be a good addition to what we have.
That conversation line has made me think about performance and how disconnected we are from live music right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is not safe to assemble or gather people en masse to experience live music. Is the Congo under the similar performance restrictions right now? Are they behaving in a certain way because of COVID?
So in Kinshasa, there is only one part of Kinshasa is on lockdown right now, which is the diplomatic area where all the diplomatic mission people are living, because those are the people who bring the COVID
in travel coming
right,
in.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. COVID did not start in Africa.
Right.
You know, so it's not really like no Congolese had this before. So that part is on lockdown. Other part, they are either trying to enforce self-isolation, but at the same time, you can't do what we do here because majority of the population are making ends meet day by day. So you wake up, you find work, you go to work, you make $1, $2, buy bread and, you know, fish or whatever, and come home and cook, end of the day. Next day, you do the same thing. So for them to be self-confined at home for 2 weeks, it's impossible, you know? And also they are often, their living condition is multi-generational. So like in the small space, there are 20 people living there, you know, of your cousins and brothers and sisters and so on. So social distancing is a luxury.
Right.
Let's wash your hand. You
it's
need
a luxury,
water.
Running water.
Yeah.
Access to.
You need water. You need soap.
Mm-hmm.
That's a luxury. So, thankfully, there are not too many cases in Congo right now. But at the same time, if this were to spread, it would be quite bad, because in Congo, they have 80 million people in Congo. There are only 60 ventilators in Congo. If it spread, it's going to be a really bad news. But the good thing is about Congo is that Congo, you know, people are used to starting their own initiatives, and the youth movement, the community centers, you know, places like that, they all are doing everything that they can. Like women's group, for example, is making soaps and, you know, giving it away, or, you know, like people trying to tell the local population that, okay, the COVID is a real thing, so we have to do this, we have to do that. But at the same time, they also have the problem with malaria or diarrhea or anything. There are so many things that have been killing them. You know, it's not just COVID. So how to balance all that, I think it's the key. So just enforcing whatever that we came up with, the Western developed countries came up with, and trying to enforce that on them is not fair. It's not going to work.
Regardless of a global pandemic, they're under such extreme circumstances, and yet still music flourishes.
Exactly. We think, we as in you and I, and probably most of the listeners, think that this is unprecedented. This is this, you know, something like this had never happened in our lifetime. And the, you know, some pessimistic people would say like the world is going to change, our world is going to end, or blah blah blah. I hear that, but all through the history of the world, things like this have been happening all the time. This one is a special one in terms of how big the scale is. But for example, Ebola outbreak. Ebola was a lot more deadly than this one. It's just that it was in a smaller part of that was affected. Not to say that that's why COVID is not a scary thing, not at all. But the thing is that we can overcome this. You know, they overcame Ebola. People overcame Spanish flu. People overcame so many diseases that we have probably never heard of because we are lucky enough to be living in the United States. If something were to change, often it's change for the better. So I am optimistic, and you just have to do what we need to do right now. For all of us who are lucky enough to be living in a place where we have electricity and water, and we even have either money or at least a credit card to panic buy. All of that is an incredible luxury.
Yeah. In the last few minutes of this program, I know that you have a dedication that you wanted to share to a very dear student of yours. And under hard circumstances, I understand, you got some pretty tough news.
Her name is Julie. She was a violinist. She was in her mid-40s, and she just passed away yesterday. She had a stroke a few months ago, but she was recovering quite well. She was an inspiration to me, to all of the Music Beyond team, and all of the ladies and men in Kinshasa. Julie was a very grumpy woman when I first met her. Super grumpy, never smiled, and to be honest, she was a pretty not wonderful violinist. it sounded a little bit like a nails on a chalkboard kind of thing going on. But she is always there, not smiling. And I was trying to tell her something, she was like, ha! So one day I was talking with my translator and said, okay, what's up with Julie? Like, what's her story? And he said, well, all I know is that she went through a lot of things in her life, and but she's here. It means she's probably liking this, even though she doesn't look like it, but maybe she's liking it. So I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to make her my project. So I started working with her a little bit more, even though she wasn't smiling. That's fine. I was keep at it. And then slowly she started to open up. About 2 years later, she said, Kari, I want to play a duet with you. Coming from Julie, who never wanted to do anything, just wanted to be there, to actually want to play a duet with me. That was a huge thing. So I told her, it's like, yes, absolutely, but I am not going to be easy on you. You know, we gotta do certain things and whatever. If you say the note of C, it should be C. It's not an F. It's a different thing. It's a different note. So, and she was like, yeah, no, I get it. And then I left. A few months later, I came back. She made the biggest transformation I've ever seen anywhere. She was great. She was playing so well. She was in tune. And I told her, I was like, Julie, what have you done? And she's like, I don't know, I just practiced every day. And since then, everybody in the ensemble noticed the change in Julie. And that pushed everybody forward. And then she came to me and said, okay, I want to thank you, Kari. I had always been making juice at home, but I never thought it was good enough to sell juice. So I make the juice and I give it to my neighbors and say, okay, here's the juice. Can you make me a dress? Or here's the juice. Can you fix, a wall, something? That's how a lot of people live there. But then she said, you know, I always knew that I was a really bad violinist, but I noticed that I could get much better with violin. My juice is better than my violin to begin with. So I decided to improve on it. and bought better bottles and invested in creating labels and went to the market and sold it for the first time. That is the reason why we do what we do.
Oh, yeah.
It's not about bringing out the next best classical music talent, but it's about making people understand that they have a place in the society. They can do what they want to do. Even women can do something extraordinary. And so she became an entrepreneur. She calls herself an entrepreneur. And, you know, she was trying to sell the juice to all the embassies and everything. So she was doing great. Last time I was there in November, December, she had been working on a solo piece. Now she wanted to play a solo in the concert that we planned. I listened to her and I said to her, it's like, okay, it sounds great. But with all the work that you have done, I really want your debut in Congo to be crazy special, wow, amazing, because you deserve that, you deserve that. So I want you to keep working on it until April, because I'll be there in April. And then I'll make sure to feature you in the concert. Usually we have a concert either with the American embassy or the Japanese embassy, where all this diplomatic corps and the politicians and everybody come. It's a very good platform. So I told her, you deserve better. You deserve better. You can, yes, I can put you in a concert this time, but if we wait until next time, and if you keep working the way you have been working, the result is going to be spectacular. So let's do that. Is that okay for you? I convinced her not to play. And she died.
I'm sure she was playing every day up until then.
I know.
That beauty and confidence that was instilled in music, she carried that with her. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
And that dedication. Your heart and your passion is felt, and thank you so much for sharing that with our listeners and being here with us today.
Of course. I thought about canceling it today, to be honest with you, but then I thought, you know what, Julie would have wanted this. Julie would have wanted you to know about this brave, talented, incredible woman that I existing in a country in the middle of Africa called the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where not many people know, or if you know, they only know just about war and rape and corruptions. And I think she would have wanted you guys to know.
Kaori Fuji, thank you so much for being here. Jessica Jane Hart, I'm going to catch up with you on another program because I know you're up to a lot of fun things, so stay tuned for that. And if you're interested in more on Kinshasa and the orchestra, visit our website, ypradio.org. We'll have links to Music Beyond, the foundation that works down there. And thanks again for being here. Our first show outside the studio, back with Resound. So thanks for being our first guests.
Thank you.
Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains, is produced by Corby Skinner, Anna Page, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Naumann. Additional funding provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. More information on Resounds is available at ypradio.org.